Amen. Well, thank God for His goodness. We have married, did some marrying today already, and I trust now it's not going to be burying. Amen. It's been good. I don't want to kill it, but the Lord's good. I tell you, I thank God for Brother Ronnie. I thank God for friends. I really do. When we come there to Hurricane, I was hurt, my soul and heart, and God just knew how to put people in my life at that time that I needed. And, just standing there, I know they waited on us and waited on us. I mean, dark was the nights, and it was getting on up. But I tell you, and we had spent many hours on the phone through those days just talking and helping. You know, you think both of us would have a little sense by now. I don't know. I can't speak for him, but I can't speak for you or anybody else, but when you're young, starting out, sometimes had a zeal. I don't ever want to lose that zeal. But I look back now, if I was honest with myself, some of it was, I guess, preaching, trying to make myself known. But as you grow and you go, and you walk through some things. You know, when you're young, you're trying to let everybody know, bless God, how strong you are. The more you get in this book, I found out and just finding out how weak I am. And every time I get behind this pulpit, I'm like, Lord, what am I doing behind here? Brother Nicky, I don't deserve to be here. Matter of fact, none of you deserve to be sitting here tonight in the house of God. But by His good grace tonight, and I'm no longer just, I say, well, preach it good. I don't know. I have no idea. But I don't want to make myself known, but I do want to make Him known tonight. And the time God gives me left, Brother Ronnie's a lot older than I am, and so, amen, by a couple years. But, you know, we're going to hit the 50 one of these days, I guess, and you tell me how it goes, amen, and I'll come behind you. But, you know, the older we get, the more we recognize this thing ain't about us. It's about somebody far bigger, far better, far greater, far more wonderful than we could ever believe. And so, you helped me, Brother Waycaster, tonight already. That was the mindset of God. Are you hungry? And that's what I think we need in this day. And could you imagine, Brother Ronnie, if every church had a Nicky Smith in it? I mean, those just ain't ashamed to worship God. I mean, just love the Lord. No, he's not a perfect man. Neither am I, neither are you. But somebody that just loves God and ain't ashamed of it. We oftentimes just become so stiff because we hadn't got before God. And so we're here to have church. And I know we lose an hour tonight, and I'm not even going to tell you that. I don't want you thinking about it, amen? But I just want to meet with God tonight, and I already have. God's already helped my soul. But I have a message, and however God wants to use it, I trust He will. If He chooses not to use it, that'll be okay too. But 2 Kings chapter number 2, I just want to look for a moment tonight. 2 Kings chapter 2 is where God's placed a burden for these few moments. 2 Kings chapter number 2, and notice I'm going to read verse 1, then we'll skip down just a piece. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 1, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven, by whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Now the next few verses, Elijah says to Elisha, "Tarry here, going to Bethel." And you'll find a common phrase. Elisha says, "I will not leave thee." And then he says, I'm going to go to Jericho. And again, he told Elisha to tarry here. And Elisha said to the man of God, "I will not leave thee." He said, "I'm going to go to Jordan." Same thing, you tarry. And Elisha said, "I will not leave thee." So in verse number 6, it says, "And they too went on Notice verse number 8, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. I think about in the last part we just read, Elisha went over. Back up just to verse in 13, it says, the mantle fell from him, from Elijah, and went back. He took up the mantle. Back up in verse 11, it came to pass as they went on. So he went on, he went back. But notice at the end of verse 14, Elisha went over. I want to preach with the Lord's help for a moment tonight on simply that title, on Elisha went over. Would you pray with us? Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow in your presence tonight. Lord, our hearts sure have been helped. Lord, if tonight were our last night, we could go to heaven shouting all the way. Lord, the song as the young ladies and young man sung earlier, when I think of all that you've done, Lord, I'm a blessed man tonight. Lord, I don't have a lot as far as compared to the elites of this world, but Lord, tonight I feel like a trillionaire when I think about the good hand of God. Lord, what you've done in my heart, my life, and my family. And Lord, you've saved my youngins, God. You've done far more than I could ever dream. And Lord, tonight I just pray you get glory to yourself. Lord, may we leave here with our hearts on you. May we leave here tonight with a hunger. Lord, with a thirst after righteousness. God, I pray that you touch each one. Bless every man of God in this room. Lord, thank you for their steadfastness, their dedication. Lord, to your word. Lord, would you just help us now these few moments? May we step back, and Lord, you step up. You get in the midst of us and get glory to your name. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. You find Elisha coming on the scene at a time of discouragement in the life of Elijah. You say the man of God never has discouragement. Well, don't look through the Bible. You'll find different. Elijah was a great man of God, yet he had discouragements. He had dealt with Ahab and then contended with Jezebel. My soul, anybody that deals with Jezebel is going to have trouble. Amen. But then you ask God, he asked God to take his own life. He thought that he was the only one left. And yet God told him back in 1 Kings chapter 19, I've left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. And so he took God at his word, and notice Elijah just went on. I'm glad he did. Had he not, he wouldn't have never been there for Elisha. I'm glad some men of God just kept on going so I can meet them through our days, Brother Ronnie. I'm thankful that there were some through their discouragements that just kept on plowing their field and would not stop. And notice he took God at his word in 1 Kings 19. He departed thence, found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And so he found him there, and Elisha had been thinking that there was nobody, and yet God said, No, I've got somebody. I've got a mantle bearer. What God needs today, I believe, is some Elishas to step up and stand in the gap and just simply step up and say, Lord, I want to be the one that'll stand faithful after the Elijahs are gone. The Christian leadership that we see today, and God is looking for some that will just tarry at the throne of grace. And in our text, Elisha, as I mentioned three times, tarry here. The word tarry carries the idea to sit down, to dwell. I love going to visit folks, and I love going to visit those kind of, man, they got something. I mean, that, I'm talking about here you want to cook. I don't take stuff. I don't go there to eat. But, boy, they sure offer you. One lady, she's in heaven now, but I'd go in and sit in her living room. She'd be cooking some cornbread. Amen. Are you talking about just the smell of it and had the beans going, all that? My mouth is watering, I'm telling you. And it just made the whole house just wonderful. But you think about, you tarry there for a while. And so it means to remain. And Elisha would not leave him. They went to Bethel. They went to Jericho and the Jordan. I wonder, are we willing to wait for the power that can only come from God? We hear David expressing in Psalm 62:11, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. And so that same Elijah, the God of Elijah, was to be the God of Elisha. And Elisha, I believe, went over the last phrase, the last part of verse 14. It says, and Elisha went over. Elijah was gone now. He had gone up into heaven. And what was Elisha to do? Just to lay down and quit? No. Was he just to give up the race? No. The Bible says he went over. And how in the world did Elisha keep on going when his Elijah had departed the scene? How will he keep going? How do you and I keep going in 2025 when some great Elijahs have crossed over on the other side? Are we to lay down? Are we to fold up our churches? Are we to shut our Bible? No. Elisha went over. How did Elisha win over? I believe he went over because he made much of the house of God. He said he was going to Bethel in verse 2. Elijah said, tarry here. And he said, I pray thee, for the Lord sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. See, Bethel means the house of God. And Elijah told him he was going there. And Elijah may have been directed to Bethel, maybe to encourage the school of the prophets. And before he left them, Elisha said, I'm not going to leave you. He stayed by the man of God. Elisha made much over God's house. Friend, there's a certain joy, I believe, that is reserved for those who have centered, who have concreted their lives around the house of God. A lot of them are looking to the pleasures. A lot of them's looking to the things of this world. I'm glad, thank God, I was privileged to concrete my life around the house of God, friend. I don't have any regret. By the way, I'm not recovering from that tonight. I don't have to. What in the world would I recover from being raised? I'm not a perfect home, but being raised up in the house of God. You make much of the house of God. And by the way, parents, I is one. Amen. We better make way much more of the house of God than we do the ball field if we want our kids to make much of the house of God. They're going to make much of what we make much of. They sure are. And so he made much of the house of God. And to be used of God, make much of the church. David said this. Did he say it? I don't know. Modern version may say this. I was mad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of God. Another meeting. That choir's going to sing and that preacher's going to preach too long. And it's just too hot and too cold and blah, 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 blah. And we leave here and we make it a picture like we was mad. I'm telling you, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to meeting. When they said unto me, let's go to the house of God. When they said, we're having revival. When they said, we're having camp meeting. We're having jubilee. Hey, friend, somebody just needs to get glad again. about Bethel. Amen. Get glad again. Didn't take us no problem. We don't have a problem getting glad when our team wins, do we? But oh, I was glad when they said unto me, if we ever want our... I wasn't raised on a silver lining or floating on a cloud. I was a preacher's kid. But honestly, Brother Ronnie, if my daddy would have let me stay outside and bounce that ball while he preached, I would have. But I'm thankful that I had somebody that showed me the right way and was faithful and standing. He's been in heaven since 22. But I'm telling you, he's still in my heart. Why? Because there were some things he left behind for me. Brother Save, I don't want to let go and I don't want to lay down. One thing it was, I watched my daddy time and time and time again make much of the house of God. Never saw him lay out just to go fishing or sitting on a bank somewhere. He made much of the house of God. And God is looking for somebody, just to do the same. How we must in this day. He was interested in Bethel more than a monument, more than a memorial, but it had meaning behind it. Church is to be more than a tradition, but it is to be a driving force of our desire. The house of God can be a fueling station for the empty tank. Yes, it can be a bathing place for the dirty to get clean before God. It can be the place of bread for the hungry soul. It's a place of thirst quenching. It's a place to get a hunger. Amen. It's a place where the water of the Word of God ought to flow freely. It's a place where the blind and the blurry can see clearly. It is not a big activity center. It is not a juke joint. But it is the house of Almighty God tonight. And somebody needs to make much of it. Psalm 73:17 says, "Well, I was having a lot of trouble until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein." Mark 11, Jesus went into the temple. As many were using it for dishonest gain, he threw out the money changers that sold the doves. And he said in Mark 11:17, "Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves." Can you imagine what God thinks about it when he looks down the day? And some places was once had a pulpit in it, Brother Ernest, and had a man of God up there thundering and preaching. And now God looks down and he sees a rock concert going on, and he's seeing a bunch of MTV rejects up there trying to stir up the worldly from the platform of the house of God. I tell you what we need. We need to just anchor down and make much of the house of God again. Oh, how we need it. His house is all about Him. We should never enter and exit His house without giving Him praise. I realize every service may not be different chandelier hanging. Amen. It may not be a shout. Sometimes it could be a pout. It may not be a lot of speech. It could be some silence going on. But however God gives it to us, we ought to know that we've met with God and that He's met with us. The temple was completed. Solomon dedicated it unto God in 1 Kings 8. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel. He spread forth his hands toward heaven and he said, "Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee." And by the way, there's still no God like Him. In heaven above or on earth beneath. Elijah made much of the house of God, but also he went over because he had a living God. In verse 2, verse 4, and verse 6, he said these words, "As the Lord liveth." The Lord, the self-existent one, the eternal Jehovah. He knew that God was living. He wasn't sitting around every morning. "Oh God, I wonder if you're still alive." Oh no, he got up knowing that as the Lord liveth, we're going to go to Bethel. As the Lord liveth, I'm going to Jericho. As the Lord liveth, we're going to Jordan and see what God can do. I'm telling you, he had a God that he knew that liveth. Oh, they're cold. Some act as if he's still in the grave. I mean, they're cold, indifferent to the work of God, the will of God, the way of God. It's sad, but many Christians live as if he were dead. We can say not just with our lips, but how we live. How we live, are we declaring that God is real? God created all. He made all. He sent His Son to save all. And if we live defeated lives, we're living as if God does not exist. Jesus came to do the work of the Father. He said in John 4:34, Jesus saith, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Then He said in John 9:4, I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Oh, we must by our walk and our talk and our actions live to testify of the reality of God. I remember Brother Doug Jones years ago. He said of somebody, he said, what would it be like if somebody was handcuffed to you for 24 or 48 hours? Where would you lead them? Who would you lead them to? Would they be led away by your speech and by your conduct? Or would they be led to Christ? We must continue on. He controls the entire universe by His power. All three men were talking. One was a Buddhist. One was a Muslim. One was a Christian. And the Christian asked the Buddhist, he said, does your God live? And the Buddhist said, well, I'm told and I'm taught that He does, but honestly, I've never seen any evidence of it. And then he asked a Muslim the same thing. He said, does your God live? And he said, well, they give praise to Muhammad, but honestly, I cannot tell you. I've never ever felt or seen any evidence. And so then they turned back to the Christian and asked, how do you know that your God lives? That Christian said, I thought you'd never ask. He said, there is still today an empty tomb where my Savior once entered into. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives in my heart tonight. There is evidence. I've saw Him reach down in the gutter and save them. I've seen what He does that nobody else can do. Buddha couldn't do it. Muhammad couldn't do it. Only Jesus can lift you up out of sin. Only Jesus. Elisha. He went over because he made much of the house of God. He went over because he knew he had a Lord that liveth. Elisha went over because he had a longing to continue on. As I said before, he said, I will not leave thee. And it says, so they went. He was blessed because he would not quit. We're living in a day, it seemed like I was talking some time ago to Brother Larry Seals. And boy, he's just telling me some stories and I said, Brother Larry, you're about to make me depressed. You're going to have to stop all this. Just one tragedy seemed like after another. Folks throwing in the towel. And by the way, I'm not beating them down. You realize I'm just, Brother Ricky, I'm just one bad decision from being a statistic in another man's sermon. We're living in a day of just laying it down, giving up. It's discouraging, yes. It can be a heart throbbing, yes. And yet, Elisha went over because he just made up his mind, I'm not going to stop. And Galatians 2, the power that comes by Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We must be thirsty and I must have a hunger for the power of God to do something for us. I had the verse in my notes, Brother Rodney, no accident he preached, but the very verse he read, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. We must pray for an infilling of the Spirit of God. Somebody said, how can you stop a man who just won't quit? See, God is looking for some Elishas that just won't quit. That preacher in the pulpit, that singer in the choir, the teacher in the class, the common person on the pew, just say, I will not quit. I'm going to keep going. You realize that every Christian, no, is not called, every male Christian is not called to full-time service or preaching. And no, females aren't either. Sorry, Joyce Meyer, if you're here tonight. She said she was called when she was 33. I don't know what she ate the night before, but she didn't get called by God. But every child of God is called to a lifetime of service. And Elisha would not quit. He just kept on going. But he went over quickly. He lingered with the right company. Elisha said, and I repeat, three times, I will not leave thee. We need that steadfastness. This man of God ought to be able to get behind this pulpit and preach as hard as that Bible is. And you just sit and say, I will not quit. Amen. We live in a day, they run home and tell their mama, and they get all offended when that Bible's preached. I'm not talking about arrogant, mean preaching. I'm talking about Bible preaching, friend. And that what we had in yesteryear, it'll work in this year. Amen. And he lingered with the right crowd. Elisha stayed with Elijah. He stayed away from the Romans. And they went on. He didn't leave his mentor. He was willing to labor with Elijah. He learned. You mentioned Brother Sable. He taught me a lot in my just early days. He remember in 08, I was interim, and he looked at me, and I was talking about, yeah, he said, well, why don't you consider pastor? I said, no. He looked at me with a smile. He said, it won't hurt you. Amen. But he gave me a lot of wisdom. A lot of things. I mean, when in my youth, I'd have a water gun ready to charge hell. I had some mentors. I had some men of God that said, hey, you got water in that gun? We need some mentors. We need some that'll help us along our way. And that's what I'm seeing that's absent in this day. But they went on. He learned from him. And no doubt there was much calling for Elisha's attention in that day. He could have easily gotten distracted, began chasing another dream. We're warned in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In my days of preaching, 25 years will be in April 26, I believe. I've not seen poverty take people out of God's house and away from Him as much as I've seen prosperity. God, does God mind us having things? Every one of us got more things than we need, honestly. Man, we got drawers full. We got sheds full. We got boxes full. We've got more than we could do without so much. But it's our heart. And I've seen folks slowly, gradually go away from God because something has gotten them. The word love carries the idea to breathe after. Basically, breathe not after the world. God is looking for somebody who will not breathe after this world, but will have long for the breath of heaven upon their life. Elisha did it as Elijah did. Many go so far, then they back up. And yet Elisha went over with Elijah on dry ground. He saw what Elijah saw. In verse 9, Elijah knew by now that this young man was serious and would not leave him. He said, okay. He said, well, just come on with me. And then he asked him something. He asked what he could do for him. And Elisha asked, he said, I'd like a double portion of what you have. The power of God. The breath of God. He said, you've asked a hard thing. In verse 11, as they still went on and they talked, we're not told everything they talked about. But Elijah was taken up. In verse 12, Elisha cried out. He took his own clothes and tore them off of him. His mentor, his spiritual role model was now gone. And he looked down. Notice verse 13. He took up also the mantle. Oftentimes in the past, maybe we've got an idea that it just fell on Elisha. But the Bible says it fell off from Elijah. And Elisha, on purpose, took it up. I wonder what he did as he took that mantle. There was a mantle that had fallen from the man of God. God, I think about today, as I mentioned a moment ago, he's taken many of his saints on to heaven, though they're gone. There are some things they left behind. He took up also the mantle of Elijah. If Elisha wouldn't have been there, if he'd have been off doing his own thing, if he'd have been off trying to make a name for himself, well, bless God, I ain't going to rely on this man Elijah. I'll go make my own ministry. There was a mantle there. Nobody had been there to pick it up. There was a mantle there that fell from a man of God, and there had been nobody to take it up. I think about if Elijah, notice something else, Elisha, he didn't scoff at the mantle. He didn't say, that's an old mantle. I don't need that mantle. He didn't say, I'll get my own. No, thank you, Elijah. I'll make my own ministry. I'll make a name for myself. I don't need that old man's mantle. You think about it, many of this generation have no desire for the old man of God's mantle. One thing that get my blood flowing quicker than anything is for some young punk so-called preacher of this modern hour to criticize the old Elijahs. Somebody that gave the sweat. Somebody that gave the time. Somebody that stood in the gap and made up the hedge and went before us. Brother Ronnie, there's been great men that's went before you here. Been great men went before me where I'm at. And I'd be a fool to scoff at the mantle that they left behind. I'd be foolish to just look at that mantle and say, I think I'll go searching for another one. Oh, I want to pick up the mantle. I think about those men of God that God's taken to heaven. Oh, Brother Percy Ray, just a while back the other week, I was over there at Myrtle, and the old building, and their regular church building, over there on the line of buildings where Brother Ray lived. I just stood there for a minute. Somewhere between where Brother Ray lived in the church house, where my daddy got saved in 1973, he had been under conviction and went up there one early Sunday morning. He never caught Brother Ray before service was out. But it just so happened, God set that thing up. Daddy drove up there early. Brother Ray was coming across there. He went to him and said, Brother Ray, I need to be saved. Brother Ray said, I know, I've been waiting on you. And somewhere, and I just walked the ground for a minute and said, Lord, I want to thank you for a man of God's mantle that affected my daddy. And then a few years later, some 5 years later or so, there I was born. I had no idea what I was being handed. As the years gone by, the mantles of the Harold Seitlers, the Billy Kellys, the Sammy Allens, you mentioned him. All these are the Stennett Blues, so many great men of God. Who has ever cared to pick up their mantle? They left so much behind, and yet many Elishas present, or they seem like they present an attitude. I don't need that mantle. I'll make my own way. We'll make up our own church. We'll do our own thing. You know, Elisha went back to the same place and he took the same possession of that mantle. He said, you know what? I'm just determined, Brother Ronnie. There's a lot of new stuff today. They got the old man's mantle on one side. They got all this other stuff over here. You know what I think I'm persuaded to do? I think I'll just go pick up the same old mantle. I just want the same Bible. Amen. Just give me the same old songs. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood to lose all their guilty stains. I'm not looking for another mantle. This modern day mantle not only makes us sick, but it makes God sick. I don't want a modern version of Elijah's mantle. I don't want a contemporary version of his mantle. You give me the mantle that fell from him. Elisha was prepared to get it. As he said, give me a double portion. You know what, Brother Ronnie, a lot of folks, they don't want to be identified with Elijah. Don't identify me with the Percy Rays and the Harold Seitlers and the Sammy Outen. No, no, no. That seem like they're ashamed of it for some reason. But I'm just telling you, go ahead and wrap me in the mantle for you. Just go ahead and identify me, Brother Ernest. I want the old mantle. I don't want something new. I don't want something of this generation. I want that which God stirred the hearts of those in yesteryear, where revivals were set ablaze of fire, where God's Holy Ghost came down and stirred the churches. That's what we need. He took the mantle and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? The water parted and he went over. Elijah walked in the Spirit of God and it was evident to others. In verse 15, you find the sons of the prophets saw him and they said, the Spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. When was the last time that you see men of this generation that this world can look and say the Spirit of God rests on them? I'm not called. I want to be a friend, but I'm not called just to be a friend. I want to be a help, but I'm called to pick up a mantle and carry it on for the 21st century. I'm called so these young kids and young people in this room can know more than just a head-banging service. But they know something about a heart-throbbing service. I'm called to hold forth a mantle. Let them mock. Let them ridicule. Let them make fun of all they want. I'm used to it. I'm telling you, friend, but thank God for the mantle. He went over because he continued with the man of God. No, he didn't have Elijah anymore. We don't have those men we mentioned, Brother Ronnie. But guess what? We have their God. We've got their God. He's still as fresh as he ever was. He's still as real as he ever was. He hadn't grown old. He hadn't got stagnated. His power's not been lost. He went over on the presence, the power, and the promises of God. I just want to encourage you tonight. You and I can go over. When Elisha's God becomes our God. And when we're just simply saying, Just identify me. Just identify me. They looked at Peter and said, you're one of them. You're one of them. This world may look at you tonight and say, you're one of them Bible believing Bible thumpers. You got it right. You're one of them that believes in old time religion. Oh yes. You're one of them. Somebody has left a mantle behind for you. Somebody has left something. I preached that along that line, not just a mantle, but at my dad's funeral. Brother Saviour, my dad passed in January of 22. It was probably May or June of 23. He was sick, we knew that. But God woke me up one morning about 2 or 3 o'clock, and I made some notes or something, I can't remember, on the prodigal son, on Luke 15. And I made a note on how much that daddy had given that boy. And he just went out and wasted his substance. Wasted it with riotous living. And I thought how much, Brother Ronnie, my daddy gave me. And for me to leave and the mantle he left behind,
for me to leave that, I might as well just go spit on his grave tonight. For me to leave what, and let me say this, it's not just right because my daddy believed it. If he believed something wrong, I'd be obligated to get with the Bible and get it right. But what he believed was right. And I'm to go over and pick it up. I'm not trying to dig my own well tonight. I'm just going back to the wells of Abraham the father and unclog what's been clogged up. Just trying to call them by the names that they called them by. Somebody, whether it was a mama or a daddy or an old godly grandma or grandpa, somebody left a mantle. When they departed to glory, there was something they left behind for you. And we'll either let it lay there and do our own thing, or we'll there's going to come a time. You may do your own thing right now, but there's going to come a time you're going to say, I sure wish I had my grandma's mantle of prayer. I sure wish I had her to pray for me. I sure wish I had that old man of God that loved me enough to point his finger and tell me the truth with a loving heart. Sure wish I had him. Oh, may we see once again the power of God. Let's all stand tonight. Lord, we love you this evening. Lord, I pray you'll take, Lord, this scattered thought, and Lord, put it in our hearts tonight. God, put it in my heart. Oh, God, how I need you. Lord, this life is but one time around. May we use it for you. Lord, these young kids, my heart's been stirred as I've just seen so many of the little smiles. And the, Lord, thank you for them. But Lord, looking upon them, they even give me more of a dedication, determination to hold forth the mantle. Lord, it needs to be there for them. Lord, we need to have a pulpit that has a Bible in it, a preacher in it for them. Oh, God, would you help us in this day? Lord, this world may have gone crazy and they've changed, but Lord, you've not changed. Lord, help us, Lord, to go on over. Help us to make much of your house. Lord, may you bless this place. What a blessing, Lord. Lord, that you put Brother Ronnie here, and God, just great days are ahead for every church, Lord, represented. I pray you'll just help us pick up the old mantle, the Word of God, and carry on. Lord, we love you tonight. In Jesus' name, preacher, you come.